Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, energy, energy, energy. An energy legend, Harold Hamm, joins us to talk about what is happening with American energy, oil and natural gas. It is the life source of our nation, and we are destroying it. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast by typing in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. As always, you can email us freedom@charliekirk.com and get involved with our student movement at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is someone I have known for years who is a legend, an outright legend, and his book is called Game Changer. You should check it out. It's by Harold Hamm, and he has done amazing things for our country, as well as being the pioneer in the oil and gas industry. Honestly, I consider that to be heroic, unlike the media. Mr. Hamm, welcome to the program.
Hey, Charlie, good to be with you. Appreciate you and all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I want to talk about your book, but first, I think it's helpful to just tell your story to our audience. You've really been the pioneer the last 50 years to help secure America's energy independence. You wrote a whole book about it. Please tell us about it.
Well, thanks, Charlie. It just goes back a long ways. You know, I started this company when I was 21 years old and built my whole career and this company as well over a long period of time. And so I saw a lot of changes within the industry. And one of those, of course, is horizontal drilling. And everybody wonders, you know, how this industry has changed over so quickly when everybody thought we were in terminal decline with production falling and eventually, you know, being produced out here in America. And it was long since, you know, beyond the peak of production in the country, and how we turned that around and basically triple crude oil production and quadruple natural gas production and did it within a, you know, a 20-year time span, if you will. So it's been a wonderful ride, a wonderful change. And one thing happened from people like myself and others that made this happen through new technology and innovation called horizontal drilling that brought all this about and made it possible to bring America energy, make it energy independent again, and the leader in the world in both oil production and natural gas production. So that's the book, Game Changer, and a little bit of it is about me, but it's not a me book. It's about an industry book. And how this took place, and it's been you write one of these books, you never know what about the readability of it, whether it's going to be easy read or tough read or going to be fun read or not. But actually, this luckily turned out to be a fun read, and we've had great response, and it's become a bestseller in so many aspects.
So I want the audience to understand this is a very tough industry. And Harold, when you started, correct me if I'm wrong, you were considered to be a wildcatter, right? So you were in kind of the space where it was a lot of risk, a lot of potential reward, and this was literally the Wild West of oil and gas exploration. Walk us through that. I think for a lot of our younger listeners that are entrepreneurs, the story is extraordinary.
Well, thank you, Charlie. With me, it's been nothing less than extraordinary. It's certainly been extraordinary. Coming out of high school, I was inspired by my surroundings there in Enid, Oklahoma, home of Champlin Petroleum, and there was an oil and gas boom going on, if you will, with the Center Trend oil field there. And I decided that's what I want to do. That's what I want to become, was an explorationist, an oil and gas explorationist. And so that's where I went. I couldn't go to college out of high school. So I went to oil field. And anyway, 10 years later, I actually got a chance to go to college. But I learned from people, and I learned the skills of the industry from a lot of people that mentored to me over that period of time, and maybe got lucky. I say I am lucky. Last of 13 kids, my parents were sharecroppers, and they could have stopped at 12. I wouldn't be here. So I'm lucky in a lot of regards. And anyway, with my first ideas, geologic ideas, I found oil field and started building production. And so it was, that's what you lived off of, geologic ideas and concepts and taking risk. And certainly that's still what we do in this industry, but to a lesser extent, perhaps, than we ever did before, because of technology mm-hmm. that we've developed and our ability to produce the source beds themselves, the shales, where oil and gas come from. And anyway, it's less of a risk now but than ever before. But it's still, there's still a lot to this business and a lot of risk associated with it.
It's a very important issue. I honestly wish our politicians would talk more about oil and gas and be proud of it. They've allowed the lies from the green movement and the climate alarmists to really create, in my opinion, too much timidity around the assets we have here in America and really why we should be exploring them and using them. President Donald Trump, thanks to your advice, by the way, I just hope everyone understands, Harold Hamm was one of the first major supporters behind Donald Trump. You brought him to an OU football game, if I remember correctly. You raised money for him when other people didn't, and you were his number one advisor on energy, and he took a lot of your advice. And I was in the room many times when he said, oh, and Harold here, you know, he knows. He got America to be energy independent. We're losing that footing, which is bad for geopolitics and many other reasons. Walk us through that, Harold, because we had 4 years of really an energy renaissance where we got to a place where it was almost too good at times. The price of oil got too low. So, Harold, walk us through that.
Well, thank you, Charlie. I explained to Donald Trump, he wanted to know what the energy renaissance was all about. And I explained to him about horizontal drilling, and he quickly got it. He said that, this could actually be the driver of U.S. economy, couldn't it? And I said, yes, it could. And certainly it did and has been. And is a very, very important part of who America is from a social and economic fabric. And so are we losing that? We got to be energy independent in 2019. And yes, we fell back below that just slightly, basically on a BTU basis. We're there, but we're barely able to hang on to it with a lot of the policies that's been handed down. So when I look and I hear people talk about the relative decline of America and its sphere of influence around the world and what's happening, and part of it is because this administration disclaims our energy renaissance that would be the envy of the entire world.
Yes.
That's been created here in America, and this administration doesn't want anything to do with it. You know, let's tell the truth here. This is what made America great, continues to make America great, and certainly should be owned. Yes. I mean, this is going to be around the next 100 years, folks, oil and gas, and for awfully good reason of what some of us risk takers have done to create this energy renaissance in the world right here in America. And so, anyway, it kind of sickens me to see how this administration has gone off in left field on energy.
It is suicidal for the civilization. And if this administration wanted what's best for America, they would use every asset at our disposal, and we're ruining it. And it's on our anniversary of 9/11. This is very relevant. This has geopolitical implications. The book I encourage all of you guys to check out, Game Changer by Harold Hamm, America's oil and gas champion from the wonderful state of Oklahoma, which is the only state in the country to say that every county voted for Donald Trump. That's pretty amazing. Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. I don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. So Harold, can you just walk our audience through how significant the American mineral, let's say, blessing is? I don't think we quite understand. You could say that we're the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. I mean, just we keep discovering even more, not just in the Bakken, but the Permian and the Marcellus. What have we been blessed with here in America?
Well, fortunately, we're blessed with a lot of sedimentary rock that contain oil and gas. So that's a wonderful thing, Charlie. The Saudi Arabia of America, that article was written by Stephen Moore, you know, with an interview that I gave to him when he was a writer for the Wall Street Journal. That was 2011. basically, that was kind of a preview of what we were doing and what was possible with horizontal drilling, you know, at that time going forward. And, you know, a lot of people were kind of shocked by that. They thought, wow, you know, what's he talking about? But here we are, you know, when you look forward to 2023, a dozen years later, and we're the number one producer of crude oil in the world, number one producer of natural gas in the world. And who thought we could be there and do that? Only a few of us that was involved in what we were doing at the time. And that was with horizontal drilling. And back then, there wasn't everybody doing it. Today, everybody is basically involved. And it's an entire transformation of our industry has been transformed with this technology of horizontal drilling. The ability to drill down 2 miles, turn right, turn left, go 2 to 3 miles, then reservoirs that normally wouldn't produce if drilled vertically that contained hydrocarbon but had low permeability and porosity, and we call them tight reservoirs, yet could give up tremendous amounts of oil and gas. And so that transformed the industry. So it's not your grandfather's oil and gas company that you could think about back in the 70s and 80s or the 50s that basically built this country that we have. So it's completely changed. As I say, transformative, and it certainly is. Giving an example today, basically we're able to hold flat production in the U.S. with some 600 rigs, drilling rigs, compared to in the boom of 1981, there was 4,580 rigs running in the U.S. So that's the degree of transformation that we're talking about here. So will oil and gas be here a heck of a long time? Absolutely. Our ability to produce the source beds themselves, the shales. Heretofore, for the past 150 years, we've lived on what leaked off through natural fracturing of those underground reservoirs, what the 15% or so, as you find out with geosciences, that leaked off those reservoirs over time. And that's what we've been producing up till now, but actually able to produce a source bed. So will we have oil and gas production for another 100 years? Absolutely. And it's nothing short of miraculous, if you will.
The book is called Game Changer by Harold Hamm. I encourage our audience to look at it. Harold, excellent work. Hope to see you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate all the great work that you're doing. So continue, young man. You just got a little bit older, is all.
Just a little bit. Yeah,
I'm getting, first time I met you.
I'm getting too old for this, Harold, but onward we march. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. We are saving babies with preborn by providing free ultrasounds. When you introduce a girl to her baby by providing an ultrasound, you're giving her the truth at the most important time in her life. And more than 85% of the time when she sees the baby and hears the baby's heartbeat, she will choose life. The voices that call themselves pro-choice are loud and proud, and they are everywhere. It might feel like an uphill battle, but there is no better fight to fight than with the truth of an ultrasound. $140 gives 5 mothers a free ultrasound and saves babies. $280 can save 10 babies. For just $28 a month, you can save a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. And $15,000 gift will provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. Whether you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call or click away. I'm a donor to Preborn, and you should be too. Call 833-850-BABY. That is 833-850-2229. Or go to preborn.org/Kirk. If you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, the opportunity is just right there. Go to preborn.org/Kirk. Joining us now is Tim Stewart, president of the U.S. Oil and Gas Association, a great pairing with the conversation with Harold Hamm. Tim, thank you for joining us. Is it true that ceiling fans are now being targeted? What is this all about?
So, you know, Charlie, when they tell you something isn't going to happen, I've decided with this administration, you better bank on that it's going to happen. And we've seen this with gas stove and other natural gas appliances where the administration has taken a very concerted effort to through the regulatory process to restrict manufacturers' ability to produce products that consumer wants. The ceiling fan thing was a surprise to a lot of us. You know, we'd been fighting the fight with gas stoves and furnaces and air conditioners and portable generators and things like that. But I don't know how much energy efficiency you can squeeze out of a tiny little ceiling fan. It's really quite concerning because, frankly, it's a consumer choice issue, and administration is trying to take away that choice.
Yeah. So what is the premise here? They want to get rid of like fans on the ceiling? I mean, what is their argument?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when Biden administration came in January of 2021, one of the many things that they did which was actually below the radar because we're all paying attention to the Keystone XL and the leasing issue, was they sent out an executive order to the Department of Energy to go back and revisit all of the regulations and all of the energy efficiency requirements that they had applied on appliance manufacturers under the Trump administration. And DOE, the politicals in the DOE came back and said, you're right, we're going to go after these about nine different appliances because we think we can squeeze more energy efficiency and or we can restrict the type of, in particular, gas stove issue, we restrict the use of fossil fuels for things like water heaters and furnaces. That's really what's going on right now. The ceiling fan issue is just the thing that where we all have ceiling fans in our houses. We may not have gas stoves, but it begins to impact everybody and particularly the small manufacturers it impacts.
So this is just kind of this what I would call a crusade on domestic convenience items, the gas stoves, ceiling fans. This is awfully strange nanny police state under the guise of climate change and climate emergency. So build that out for us. This is incredibly particular selection of items.
It really is. And I will primarily from the natural gas appliance issues. They hate fossil fuels. They've made that known really from day one and before. And so there's a two-pronged attack here is what we see is on one hand, the federal government can regulate energy efficiency for appliances and appliance manufacturers. And they've been able to squeeze a total of 9 cents a month out of the new natural gas stove regulations. 9 cents a month is what they had to come back and revise their estimates about. The other prong of the attack that we are dealing with, frankly, is at the local level where local governments, primarily those that are run by in blue states and run by Democrats and liberals and progressives, they're actually putting the restrictions on the ability to hook up new buildings and existing buildings to natural gas. And so you may be able to get a gas stove if we win the fight over here, but you may not get natural gas to your house to fire your natural gas stove. Again, it is very much a war on fossil fuels. 9 cents a month is all they're ringing out. And so it doesn't really make a lot of sense. You can tell that it really is it's a climate agenda more than an energy efficiency agenda.
Yeah. And so we're constantly playing defense on this. And going to the home use goods is really interesting. The gas stoves one, they assured us it wasn't happening, and now it is happening. So what is the status of that?
So the regs are out, the comment period is out, and that's what caught everybody's attention. The bigger sort of philosophical approach is how far down in the weeds are they willing to go to restrict our choice? That's why this gas stove thing is so so intrusive to people. The local government kicking your front door in and coming in and looking around and casting judgments on how you raise your family. They point to your stove and say, look, you're putting your children at risk because they may get asthma, which isn't true. The question, again, is how far down into our daily lives, into the privacy issue, are they willing to go? It's one thing to have a $50,000 electric vehicle mandate or a $1,000 gas stove, but a $100 ceiling fan. It's incredibly intrusive. And I guarantee you that the revised saving estimates they come back on ceiling fans is going to be even less than 9 cents.
So let's talk more broadly. You know, in the last couple of years, we've seen this advance of the green energy agenda on oil and gas. Kind of give us a grade of the health of the oil and gas industry from a regulatory perspective, a legislative perspective. Where do we stand as of today?
So right now, the industry we're producing, we are actually at pre-pandemic levels. Thankfully, a lot of that has to do because of the prior administration. Under President Trump, he made it very clear that he was going to use the federal asset in terms of oil and gas and fossil fuels. He was going to be able to use that. The reason why is because we're one of the largest contributors to the federal budget besides the income tax. And so we're now producing 12 billion barrels a day. But the administration says, well, and the president has said, is we want to reduce that federal production to zero. If you do that, Charlie, that creates a market gap of almost 1 million barrels a day, which puts us right back to where we were last year at this time. Again, 25% of all the oil and gas assets in the United States are onshore. We account for about 10% of the overall production. If the administration says we're taking it away, then they create this market gap, which pushes our prices back up to $125, $130 a barrel. You're paying $5 a barrel for gas. The way they do that is they control it through the very complex permitting process and the number of leases that can be nominated and accepted. Again, it's I've in my 30 years working in this industry in Washington, D.C., I've never seen a more unfavorable regulatory or legislative environment than the one we've gone through for the last 2 years.
But can you explain that further? I mean, so but if production has increased, why are gas prices so high?
Yeah, so one of the reasons why production has increased is when we go in and we drill a well, we don't always complete that at the same time. And so those wells can be had, and it's called drilled but uncompleted. And what happened was, if you recall pre-COVID, the Saudis and the Russians took it to the U.S. shale producers. They're saying, we're going to drive you out of business. And so they started cutting prices and cutting prices and cutting prices, which meant the U.S. shale producers had to drill more and more wells. And then COVID hit and demand collapse took place. And what we had was thousands and thousands of wells that were already drilled but weren't completed. And then the administration changed. And what happened is, as when the Biden administration came and said, we're not going to do any more leases, well, those wells began to be completed. So you see that those production levels are now because of the drilling work that we did during the Trump administration. The problem is the Saudis, as you know, went through this million barrel a day cut globally. And so they have put the squeeze on global prices, while the U.S. producers are not in the position to be what's called a swing producer anymore. We're producing as much oil and gas as we can, but we can't keep up with the Saudi cut, unfortunately.
So if you can't keep up with the cut, then the raising of prices is not a supply issue then?
It is. And again, this gets into the complexity of how do you, for gasoline prices and diesel prices, it goes back to the complexity of what type of oil we're producing in the United States versus globally. In Texas, we produce, you know, the West Texas Intermediate is called a light crude. We import the heavy crude. The heavy crude has more sulfur content, and that's what our refineries for decades have been refining, because that was the way we were importing oil and refining it that way. So we're actually exporting the oil that we're producing here to the refineries in Europe and elsewhere who like that crude, where we have to bring it in. And so we're still subject, unfortunately, to the global prices, because we have to import Saudi and Venezuelan crude right now.
So from a legislative perspective, they are talking about abolishing fossil fuels and transitioning us to a green economy. We're seeing whispers of this in New York, for example, where they've completely eliminated almost all fracking. What would that mean for the American economy?
Well, the fact of the matter is they cannot get from here to there. We don't have the infrastructure in place. We don't have the, if we went to full electrification, we simply don't have the generation capacity without a baseload that the natural gas provides. And this is what's so frustrating to us, is because 60% of the greenhouse gas emissions that have taken place, the United States has led the world in doing that. And that has taken place because we have switched from coal to natural gas. We can't get from here to there. I mean, I have an electric vehicle. I mean, I bought it because I wanted to be able to complain about it, and I got a lot of complaints. The fact is, the biggest matter is that there is not the infrastructure for me to go outside my hometown and go on a longer trip to, say, you know, we had to go to Salt Lake, for example, this weekend, and we didn't drive it because we didn't know if there was going to be a charger available for us to come back. We're just not there, and that they're selling us a bill of goods, to be honest with you.
So is there a website you could direct our audience to for more information, something that if they wanted to dive deeper into this?
Yeah, on the appliance side, the natural gas, the ceiling fans and stoves, handsoffmystove.com is a little side project that the U.S. Oil and Gas Association started. We did that to kind of help people, it's a volunteer organization, to help people sort of stay on top of what was happening in their state or in their town, and to give them the top two or three things that are happening each week on the appliance side. And on the just general oil and gas side, there's a lot of different websites, the U.S. Oil and Gas Association, usoga.org, api.org, a lot of those other trade associations have some excellent information. The problem is, Charlie, that we've got great information and we're really lousy at getting our message across a lot of times. And I will be the first to admit that that's our problem.
Well, we need to start to get the truth out, because this is civilizational type stuff that's happening here. The entire civilization comes down to whether or not you have energy. It's very basic. If you cannot fuel your economy, if you cannot fuel your life, so much of Western prosperity is built on the prerequisite of abundant, cheap energy. It's just we take it so for granted. Fidelity Charitable released its latest giving report. According to the report, its account holders in 2022 recommended $11 billion to nonprofits. In the mix, Planned Parenthood. In fact, according to the report, Planned Parenthood was just the sixth most popular nonprofit among Fidelity charitable account holders last year. Does that upset you? Well, it upsets me too. Open a giving account with an organization that shares your values. Visit donorstrust.org/Charlie to learn more about Donors Trust. That's donorstrust.org/Charlie to discover how you can partner with a giving account provider that shares your values. I love Donors Trust. I encourage you guys to look at it right now. They're excellent. Donorstrust.org/Charlie. Third world, first world. Third world, first world. Only a first world country that has been infected by bad ideas, that has been mesmerized by an ideological academic cancer, could be entertaining something as stupid as not using our oil and natural gas. Tim Stewart is with us. Tim, build that out. First world, third world. Walk us through it.
So, you know, on any given day or at any given point in time, in any given day in the United States, 60% of the electricity is being generated is coming from fossil fuels. Doesn't matter if it's California or if it's New York or wherever. That's basically the energy portfolio for the United States. And the reason why is because natural gas and or coal, but from my perspective, natural gas, that is the most stable and most reliable. But, you know, the price of natural gas has been largely the same, hovering in a, with some minor price fluctuations, has been largely the same for the last 20 years. And so that has what it gives you assurance that when you turn on your lights, the lights will come on. It gives you the assurance that when you jump on a Zoom meeting, the Zoom meeting will come on. The administration, for whatever reason, thinks that is bad. And so they're put in this concerted effort to put us in an energy portfolio, electricity portfolio in the United States that is largely unreliable, primarily when it's driven by renewables. If you think about it, if you go to a third world country, you don't know if and when the lights will go off. And honestly, you can be sitting in a hotel and the lights will flicker and the odds are that the diesel generators kick in. And that's what makes us a first world country is when you have stable electricity and stable energy, then you have stable healthcare, you have stable business, you have stable agriculture. And they're, for whatever reason, they're pushing us because it is a control issue. They're pushing us away from that.
So you deal with politicians, lawmakers, and pundits. Sometimes they'll say, well, Joe Biden has opened up more leases than anybody else. Is that true? Has he really approved more drilling leases?
Now that's total absolute crap. And to be honest with you, you know, I got in trouble last week because I referred to the White House press secretary as Baghdad Barbie, because she's, you know, it's she's sitting there saying everything's fine. Gasoline prices are coming down. Explosions are going off in the background. And I probably shouldn't have said that.
By the way, you're fine on this show saying that. All good. 10 out of 10. It's great.
You know, they're lying through their teeth. Either that or they just live in an alternative reality. So here's let me give you some numbers if we could. In 1998, President Clinton sold 7,200 individual lease parcels, and 1% of them were protested. In 2020, President Trump sold 1,420 leases, and 72% of those leases were protested. The Biden administration is on track to come under 600 leases sold, with 99.9% of those leases protested. For them to say that they've done more leasing than anybody is just absolute crap, and I'm not taking it. I'm not buying it.
It's total spin. It's total propaganda. So in closing, I do want to talk about the funding. Who is funding these protesters? There is evidence that the Chinese Communist Party has funded the Sierra Club and or their proxies. If I was an enemy of America, I would fund the Green Movement, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because then this attacks the market stability. When you're attacking energy and energy reliability, then you're attacking market stability and economic stability. And you're absolutely right. It's been both the Russians and the Chinese. But the biggest enemy, unfortunately, is within. Because if you look at the philanthropy that's there, you have four billionaires have put individual billionaires have put $2 billion into the climate messaging system alone. And that's what's really frustrating. You know, Bloomberg funds a $100 million effort to get rid of petrochemicals. Amazon money is spending it. Nike money. The philanthropy issue is a real problem in terms of where the money flows to the left.
And how much foreign money is flowing into the green groups, this remains a mystery. Tim, thank you so much. Excellent. Thank you so much.
It's great being with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com. We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.